For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we say good morning to you, and thank you for tuning in to Gospel Dynamite, gospeldynamite.org. This is Alan Mashburn, and I'll be bringing the message today, Observation from David's Pastoral Psalm. We're looking at Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. And we trust this will be a great blessing to you. Psalm 23 is often read at funerals, but it's written to the living. It's written to the living to give us confidence, give us hope, give us encouragement that we have a shepherd. It's written by the Holy Spirit through the hand of David. David, as you well know, had began his career, if you will, as a shepherd, a literal shepherd in the fields. And he would be a shepherd boy. And the Lord would use this in his life to prepare him for the days ahead in which he would be the shepherd of Israel. Psalm 23, we'll begin reading at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, there's six verses in this psalm, and there's so much to cover that is such good, good material, and we want to get the maximum account that we can that will help us, that we cannot cover all six verses today, but we will look at verses 1 and 2. In summation, let's look at a background here of the placement of Psalm 23. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 actually form a trilogy here in the Scripture. Psalm 22 shows the Good Shepherd giving his life for the sheep. We see that is fulfilled in John chapter 10, verse 11, when Jesus said that the Good Shepherd does that for his sheep. Psalm 23 shows the Great Shepherd. That is, Hebrews 13:20 puts it, brought forth from the dead, brought again forth from the dead. And he's tenderly caring for the sheep. Psalm 24 prophetically portrays the chief shepherd coming as the King of glory to reward his sheep. 1 Peter 5:4 details that as well. So the great shepherd of Psalm 23 is the good shepherd, which is portrayed in Psalm 22, who passed through death and was resurrected to make available the blessings of the psalm to all who trust in his completed redemption, Psalm 24. So there we have a trilogy. Now, the Lord has desire to make his blessings available to all folks, to all people. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Now we want to look at verse 1 where David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." These four words define what our Lord has assumed toward his people, and that is the office and the character of a shepherd. And for this very reason, we should offer our Lord great thanksgiving in that he allows himself to be compared to anything. Think of the great condescension that's implied here. Our Lord, the infinite God, is literally comparing himself to a shepherd. And even though we think, well, that's wonderful, that's great, but in a grand general sense, our Lord is condescending to man, which is exactly what the Lord does at the cross. David had been a keeper of the sheep. He understood the needs of the sheep. He understood the care that it takes for sheep. He compares himself to a creature that is weak, defenseless, foolish, and without direction. And no man has the right to consider himself the Lord's sheep unless he has been born again. A sheep is a property. It is property, not a wild animal. Sheep are property. And David knew that he belonged to the Lord, for he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And by the way, that's present tense. The Lord is my shepherd, not maybe, not might be, not hope so, that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, present tense. Nor does he say that the Lord is a shepherd of the world at large. Nor does he say that the Lord is our shepherd, for it is a personal decision for each person to make for themselves, whether or not they will submit to the Lord Jesus and that he will become their shepherd. If he be a shepherd to no one else, David said, he's a shepherd to me. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me. He watches over me. He preserves me. The words are in present tense. Now, whatever your state may be as a believer, whether you're in the depths of the dark valley of trials and tribulation, or you're on a pinnacle of success, you are under the pastoral care of God Himself. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the next four words, I shall not want. I shall not want. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. The reason why he shall not want is because the Lord is his shepherd. And literally, it's saying that I shall not lack. I shall not be deficient in anything. I shall not have a desire to want anything. And so that is the inference from the previous statement, the Lord is my shepherd. He also feeds the ravens, and he causes the lilies to grow. And so he cannot allow his children to starve. God has a responsibility toward his children, and he takes it very seriously, and he is very good at it. No one else can be any greater than he. He's God. And so I shall not want spiritually during trials and heartaches, for his grace is sufficient, Paul said. So come what may, God says, I shall not want. David is literally giving testimony here. I shall not want. Why? Because he's my caretaker. Because he's my protector. Because he's my provider. He's my shepherd. Genesis 17 and verse 1 says, the Lord declares that I am the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God Almighty, if we were to use the Hebrew name, would be El Shaddai. El Shaddai. He fully provides. He is the God who is more than enough. He is the God who is enough for any situation. Now also we look at verse 2 and we see that the scripture says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Christian life has two different elements, if you will. The contemplative and the active. The contemplative and the active. First, the contemplative. The Bible says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. Meditate on that just a moment. Green pastures. What are these green pastures? Well, if you think about green pastures, they're always fresh. They're always rich. They always have exactly what the herd, if you will, or the sheep desire. It is plentiful. It never disappoints. It always satisfies. Each time the sheep might take it to a meal in that green pasture, he never comes up with a mouthful of dirt. He never runs out of green grass because it's always plentiful. It is a beautiful, healthy pasture. In our spiritual walk, we have to relate that to the Word of God. The Word of God is always fresh. It's always rich. It's never exhausted. It never disappoints. It's always sweet. It's always full. It does everything that we need in our spiritual well-being. It's food for the soul, as tender grass is nutritious for sheep. The Word of God fulfills every need that we have. The Lord enables us to lie down in His tender care, in His beautiful Word. Why? Because He's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. The second element, we've already talked about the contemplative, but the second element is the activity. The Christian walk should always be a forward step walk. The Bible says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. We not only meditate and contemplate, but we act. We aren't always lying down, but the Word or the Lord always allows us to move forward in our journey. So what are these still waters? Well, I submit to you that it's the influence and the indwelling of the sweet Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit indwells believers. When you accept Christ as Savior and you believe on Him, the Holy Spirit indwells you as a believer, and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, the Spirit of God, think about this with me. The Spirit of God attends to us like water. He cleanses us. He refreshes us. He fertilizes us. He grows us. He nourishes our thirsty soul. And so the ministry of the Spirit of God never ceases. The ministry of the Spirit of God never rests. The Spirit of God is always working on us, working in us, working through us. And the still waters aid the shepherd in his task of keeping and caring for the sheep. The Holy Spirit aids the Lord Jesus in every aspect of our earthly and our spiritual walk. We need Him. And the Lord has exactly what we need. Even when we have no clue as to what to pray or how to pray, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit and literally conveys to the Lord Jesus God and God the Father how and what we need. Our heart is conveyed by the Spirit of God to the Father even when we do not know how to pray. And there are many times when we don't know how to pray. There are many times when we don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit loves us as the Lord Jesus does, and He guides us, and He teaches us, and He prays for us. Now, not only that, it's important to note that when the Holy Spirit is compared to still waters, it's also important to note that you see some character there, some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves peace. The Holy Spirit's not rowdy. He's a complete gentleman. The Holy Spirit doesn't exalt Himself. He always exalts the Son, the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, He is as a dove, not as an eagle. He's not the hurricane, if you will. He is the dew. And our Lord leads us beside these still waters. And we cannot go on by ourselves. We need His guidance. Therefore, the Scripture says that He leadeth me. Rest in the shepherd's care. Rest in His care. The Lord is my shepherd, not was. It's not past tense, it's present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Rest in the shepherd's care. Now, in closing, we will leave you with one verse that is not found in our text, but is a beautiful, beautiful verse. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." The Lord is good, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Well, I trust that's been a blessing to you. And I trust that as you're going through your day, that you'll realize that the Lord is your shepherd. And if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you have an open invitation by the Holy Spirit, by God the Father, by Jesus Christ, that you would accept Him as your Savior, that you would accept His forgiveness of your sin, and that you would admit that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus paid the price, and that you confess that Jesus Christ is God. Now, by doing that, you're saying, "Lord Jesus, I want You to be my shepherd." And then you too can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."